You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program. It is Monday, May 12th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. And I mean a great day. Temperatures in the 80s through parts of Wisconsin, as they say, cooler near the lake, Lake Michigan, that is. But most of Wisconsin in the 80s and 70s today. Pretty blue skies out there right now as we come to you from the world headquarters of downtown Madison on State Street. Zommers, I know a little warm for you, but I'll take this.
Yeah, you know, I can, as long as I stay in the shade, we'll be all right.
You'll stay in the shade.
I won't melt.
No, you won't. You won't melt. Just chill out a little bit. Good to be with you. Many thanks to Senator Keller Royce from hour number 2. Always a lot of fun to talk to the senator, her insight on the Joint Finance Committee, and hope to continue that into the summer months here as the joint lasts several weeks. They hope to be wrapped up by end of June. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. Anyway, coming up here just a bit, we'll do what's worse. And then at the bottom of the hour, 2:35 to be precise, Jack Kelly from Wisconsin Watch in with more Wisconsin news headlines over the weekend and things going on. And the what's new on their great newsletter as well. Always great to have Jack stop by. Sorry. I was looking at Zom. I thought you were going to say something. And then, no, he had nothing.
No, I had nothing.
Look, a lot's going on. Trying to catch up a little bit over the weekend. As we said, again, hearts go out to the folks in Milwaukee who went through that major fire over the weekend, a 4-story apartment complex set ablaze, and 5 people, I believe, now have lost their lives, 3 more in critical condition. Dozens, if not hundreds, of others are displaced. And this was an older building built in the late 60s before the fire codes changed. And God bless the fire chief down in Milwaukee. He did not mince words after this with the press in saying, look, people have to make a decision here. And, you know, whether it's the Home Builders Association or whoever, Wisconsin, I get it to retrofit these buildings with fire suppressant systems, i.e. sprinklers. It would cost a lot of money. But I've got, at the time, 4 and now 5 families I'm having to comfort and talk to who would think that cost to be nothing. And again, as we right before the top of the hour there, that call from L.A. Tom, lots of folks, and I know we're experiencing this in Madison, that there are some places, and I'm not talking about like the suburb areas where you have the McMansions or whatever. I'm talking about basic 1-bedroom apartment housing in Madison, certainly on the Isthmus here. And I know there was just an article in, I'm not sure what it was in, but it was, I believe it might have been the Journal Sentinel, on Milwaukee's housing crunch and how they're facing this as well. And it's not that there isn't housing available, it's affordable. And when I say affordable, I'm not talking about, you know, the what some people would consider quote-unquote welfare or poor people or, oh, you know, they're just uneducated and they're not working and they're lazy and all these stereotypes. I'm talking about people who are gainfully employed, some of whom have technical or 4-year degrees, and who are working full-time and yet cannot afford to live in modest 1-bedroom homes in typical neighborhoods in Madison and Milwaukee.
And kids.
And kids. And so this is something we've talked about before. I hope to talk about it more as we continue on into this year, is the housing crisis in Wisconsin. And so here now, over the weekend, we see one of these apparent an apartment complex where the rents were cheaper because it was an older apartment building, but had no fire suppression systems in it. And a fire started and it just went like kindling, and a lot of injuries. And the question begs, and I get it. I stop myself for a second, because if you're a landlord, you say, well, you know, I bought this and our family's owned it for 40 years. And, you know, before this happened, and now it would cost us millions of dollars or whatever it would cost. And I get it. For some people, it might just be cost prohibitive. But it would seem to me that maybe perhaps we could take part of that $4 billion in our state budget and say, hey, what buildings are there in certain cities where there's a housing crisis where we could possibly partner with builders and landlords to put in fire suppression systems so these things wouldn't happen? Because I bet you if you go a block away, Zomers, and go to the Joint Finance Committee and you ask anybody on there, Republican, Democrat, or whatever, hey, would you like your kid or grandkid to live in a building that has no fire suppression system?
Or to go to school with lead pipes
right.
and lead paint?
Nobody there is going to say yes. So my question is, if you, legislator, don't want that, why should we expect it to be okay for other people, fellow Wisconsinites? And I get it. You can't solve every problem, every budget. But it would seem to me at least having a pilot program or taking a step in that direction might be a good thing to do.
Yeah,
That's just me.
I honestly, between this with the no fire suppression systems and the problems with lead in Milwaukee that are well documented and persist to this day, I find it a tremendous indictment on the, I don't know if it's the fault of the city of Milwaukee or the state government, but it's frankly unacceptable.
Yeah.
And people are dying because of it, and someone's got to do something.
We shall see. We shall see what happens as we move forward here. But anyway, I just thought I would bring it up so that people could maybe be aware of this and discuss a little bit. 13 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. I want to get to this before we do what's worse today. Timely, timely indeed, as Mike Lucas likes to say. President Donald Trump today launched a version of price controls to reduce drug costs for the U.S. consumers by basing payments for some medications on their prices in other countries. In an executive order signing, Trump said, quote, Big Pharma will either abide by this principle voluntarily or will use the power of the federal government to ensure that we are paying the same price, unquote. Under the order, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will, quote, set clear targets for price reductions across all markets, unquote, in the U.S. and open a, quote, round of negotiations, unquote, with the industry. Kennedy lauded Trump's executive order and said the policy was the fulcrum of Bernie Sanders' run for presidency in 2016 and 2020, unquote. Now, as listeners of our show, Republicans historically oppose increasing the minimum wage or have any minimum wage laws. Why? Because, they have said, a minimum wage is a version of price control. As we learned in high school, price controls have been used multiple times in U.S. history, and policy has always backfired. Richard Nixon famously launched broad price controls to combat inflation. When price controls were lifted, the result was even more inflation. Will this populist move by Trump, which distracts from his tariff debate, by the way, end differently? Well, we'll see. Now, remember, during the campaign, we were so fortunate to have Mark Cuban on the show. He was a surrogate for then Vice President Kamala Harris. Mark Cuban, many of you might know, he's on Shark Tank, or I think now this season he's off. He was on Shark Tank for the beginning. Owner of the Dallas Mavericks, although he's sold his majority interest in the Mavericks. Multi-billionaire. What Cuban has started this new company called Cost Plus Drugs. And he's taking his wealth and he's making deals directly with pharmaceutical makers and putting the middle person out of business. And Charlie Kirk tweeted this last night about what I just read. And here's what Mark Cuban, a guy who knows a lot about drug prices, said. Quote, drug prices are too damn high. But the big culprit isn't the brand manufacturers. It's the big middlemen, namely PBMs. They work so hard to distort pricing, the first lines in their contract with everyone is literally, quote, you can't disclose any of this, unquote. How bad are they? Have you ever seen them disclose a net price list? For your company, Charlie Kirk, ask your PBM for a list of claims and the price paid for each medication. Let us know if you can get them. This EO, executive order, has a real shot. And Big Pharma isn't innocent. But the PBMs that have screwed things up, whether they have screwed things up, separate formulas from GEM and make them disclose all claims to employers and manufacturers, and we may be able to get brand meds cheaper than many countries, unquote. That from Mark Cuban. So what Cuban is basically saying, and you read a couple of his other tweets he's put out the last 24 hours, he's saying, look, what Trump's doing today isn't necessarily going to fix the problem, but you can't say it's not a step in the right direction because it may bring transparency. And this has been one of Mark Cuban's main points in creating cost plus drugs is that there's no transparency. We're not seeing how much the pharmaceutical company is charging the middlemen and then how much of that gets passed on to either our local pharmacy or our hospitals or our clinics. And that's what ultimately really drives prices up. So I'm not here to necessarily flat out endorse what Trump is doing on this today. But based on people who are a lot smarter than me on this stuff, like Mark Cuban, you know, it may help. And I think it's good to at least acknowledge that and say, you know what, if there's something that could help the pharmaceutical or the cost of drugs to consumers in this country, hey, that's a good thing.
I think this is also a good reminder that people like Mark Cuban are not woke Marxists with Trump derangement syndrome.
Right.
They're smart people who see what's going on and will honestly critique it. And if Trump does something good, he'll say it. Right. And if Democrats do something bad, he'll say it.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of respect for him. I'd love to have him back on the show. I think maybe our friend Trigvy is working on that. But interesting indeed. Should we open the thing up now or should we wait?
We can do it now.
All right, here we go. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. This or that, this or that. But of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, but it is your chance to have your voice heard across all 11 news, sports, talk stations in the Civic Media Radio Network across Wisconsin. All right. That time of year, Todd needs to get it back out and exercise, put on a few pounds over the winter. So here it is. Today's category, what's worse, pointing out weight loss or not pointing out weight loss? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's worse, pointing out weight loss or not pointing out weight loss? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you can text us at the Civic Media app. You can download it at your Apple or Android device. Go to your app store. In the search bar, type Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up. Takes less than a minute. It is free to download. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal, the Civic Media app. What's worse, pointing out that somebody has lost weight or not pointing out weight loss? We'll come back, take your calls after this, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Yeah, freedom. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead. and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Lawball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up just after the bottom of the hour, Jack Kelly from Wisconsin Watch will be in talking about important stories across the state of Wisconsin politically. Catching us up to speed on there. They have a great newsletter at Wisconsin Watch. We'll talk more about that in just a few minutes with Mr. Kelly, who is in the green room right now, better known as the couch outside the door. Right now, asking the questions of the not so important, but sometimes amusing. Today's what's worse, the category is pointing out weight loss or not pointing out weight loss. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Zomers, have you ever been in a position where you don't know if you should say something or not? You know, I mean, if someone clearly has lost weight, you want to compliment them, but you're thinking, well, if I say that, then it's going to sound like I thought they were heavy before. But yet, if you don't say it, they're going to be like, I've done all this work and nobody notices.
Yeah, it can be rough. And I think I'm going to give the worst answer to what's worse, which is it depends.
All right. Well, if anybody else has a more decisive answer, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Milwaukee on WAUK. Brian, listening in Milwaukee. Brian, pointing out weight loss or not pointing out weight loss? What's worse?
You know, it's funny that Somers said exactly what I was going to say because it really depends. And here's my example. Mm-hmm. Because for me, for example, I've always been a short, stocky, heavy-set guy. Mm-hmm. And about 2 years ago, I was visiting with family for Christmas, and my aunt, who I haven't seen in like a year, said, Brian, aren't you trying to lose weight? And I... Mm-hmm. Because I gained like 50 pounds since she last saw me. And my stepmom said, well, you don't know, but he was diagnosed with some health issues. And now I was put on prednisone, which you can gain a lot of weight with that.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's like, but Brian, you're so young. How'd you gain all this weight? And,
gosh.
Then when we found out what was going on, you know, was that type of thing. And then when I saw her this past Christmas, she actually complimented me on the weight loss I've been trying to do being on the medication. So, it really depends because you could have a situation like that where you know the person's trying to lose weight. But then again, if someone's going through like chemotherapy or has like chronic wasting syndrome and they're losing weight.
Yep.
Now, see, you don't compliment that, you know.
No, exactly. Now, I'm going to let's keep you on the phone, Brian, because I'm interested because you've gone through this a little bit. Carolyn from Heartland just texted in on WAUK. And she just texted what I was going to say. She says, just say, you look great. I mean, so that's, which is something I have done. If I see someone and it's pretty clear that they've lost weight in a good way, what I think is a good or healthy way, I'll just say, wow, you look fantastic. I haven't seen you in a while.
Right.
And like if they say, well, thank you, I've really been trying. Well, then you can kind of pick up on that. But if they just say, oh, thank you, I appreciate it, then maybe there's something else going on. Is that an acceptable way you think?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like even when I was in high school, when I was younger, I gained a lot of weight because of some of the medication I was on. And I stopped taking the medication. My doctor said, you need to diet and exercise, or it's going to lead to health, you know, consequences later on in your life. And I lost a whole bunch of weight when I was senior year in high school. And all of a sudden I was getting compliments from, you know, students and teachers going, oh my God, how'd you do it? Well, I just ate healthy and exercised every day.
Right.
You know.
Right. And I also think
it really depends on the situation.
And I also think that if I've had people, friends in my life that might have been heavier, but they lost some weight. It wasn't where they wanted to be yet. But I would still say, hey, you look fantastic. I mean, it's not that we all have to be like, exactly. I mean, I'm certainly no model, you know, a centerfold or anything like that. No. I think weight is particular to the person, what they feel good about, what's healthy for that individual. We all walk a different journey. So, you know, sometimes just like a new shirt or whatever, and it's like, wow, this gives that person some color.
And it's funny, too, because I've been talking to my doctors, you know, over the years about trying to lose weight. Mm. And because I'm, for example, I'm 5'5", and currently I weigh 308 pounds, when you look in a textbook, like a fitness book, of what they say, a male at my age, which is 39,
yeah,
you know, with my height and my weight, you know, should weigh. Well, then when you look at it, the doctor's like, no, you should not be this 100 and something, you know, pounds,
right,
because that's going to be on your type of body. Mm-hmm. That's going to be too low. You need to aim for, you know, they said like aim for like 220, 225, 230, because sure, that's going to look better on you. Mm-hmm. You know, so everyone's a little different, yeah, you know.
I appreciate the call, Brian. Thanks for sharing yeah, that personal information. Yeah. I think it's just good to have these open discussions. Sometimes this stuff ends up being more humorous, and sometimes it makes us have cool conversations that are just real. And I like that.
Yeah. On that note of everybody having different ranges of healthy weight, mm-hmm, when I was in like, I don't know, I think even in elementary school, this might've happened, and they still did a lot of BMI calculations.
Oh yeah.
And it would be like, you're overweight, Aaron. And then you look at me and I look like this big pen here.
Right.
It's no, I was just tall. There was a lot of bone there.
Yeah.
I was underweight, if anything.
Wow. Interesting. Megan in Sun Prairie listening to WMDX says, I agree with Carolyn. Almost had that typed word for word before I heard her comment. Casper in engineering says, I made it a personal thing to just not comment on other people's appearances in general. Well, there's that too. But I don't know. Anything else? Someone else said, just say, oh, Jude in East Troy, just say, you're looking good. And they get it. Yeah. I think that's, I tend to be like, I don't know. If someone truly looks, I'm like, I won't tell people they look fantastic if it's clear they don't. Like if they're ill or you know what I mean?
Then it's kind of more of a, hey, how you doing?
Right.
You know, like, you doing all right? Not, I said that
now
in the worst way
now
possible.
Now people are going to judge me and be like, oh, you must think I look terrible if you don't say it. But my point is, I reserve that, like, if I know a friend or family is trying to lose weight, and then they do, if I truly notice it and I know the work they've put in, I want to, like, be complimentary of that.
Right.
That's the point. All right, come on back. We'll get to the point with Mr. Jack Kelly from Wisconsin Watch. A little Wisconsin news for you on the other side. It's the Todd Allbull Show on Civic Media. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Ready Network. Glad to have you along here on a Monday, May 12th, 2025. Did I say 35 minutes past the hour already?
I think so. It never hurts to set the time.
Maybe I've had an extra mushroom. I'm looking. We're joined here at the desk now. We hope to be every week from someone at Wisconsin Watch. Jack Kelly is in. Jack, how the heck are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again.
It's always a pleasure. We were talking mushrooms before we came back on the air, but morel mushrooms. And then one of our listeners, Cameron Appleton, texted at me right before I went on the air and said, "Please teach me about mushrooms. I wish to grow them." I'm not entirely sure which type of mushrooms he's talking about.
I don't know how to provide any advice either.
Yeah, I don't either.
I like mushrooms. I like to eat them.
Are you a morel fan?
I am. You know, I'm not picky and choosy.
Really?
Eating mushrooms is an adult era innovation for me. Oh. I was like 25 years old when I started doing it again. So,
yeah.
I was like, you know, mushrooms on pizza, whatever, never my thing. Now I can't get enough of it.
That's fantastic. I grew up on morels as a kid, but they're pricey now. I saw not on Saturday, but Wednesday here downtown, $25 a pound.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
wow.
They're the elusive morel mushroom, but of course the capital of morel mushrooms in Southwest Wisconsin, Muscogee.
All right.
Yeah, you said there was a place Rothschild that claims this or whatever.
Oh no, in Rothschild is where the state Republican Party convention is going to be this weekend.
There may be a lot of mushrooms imbibed in Rothschild, Wisconsin. All right, well, this is enough of old mushroom home week. Anyway, what Jack is here to do, and the great folks at WisconsinWatch.org, that's WisconsinWatch.org, keep track of what the happenings are in the state of Wisconsin. It's a great website. You do a great newsletter. I wanted to pick up a little bit, Jack. We had State Senator Kelda Royce here earlier in the show, Democrat from the Madison area, and she's on the Joint Finance Committee. But what I wanted to talk something, pick up, our friend and colleague Jane Matinere touched on this morning on her show. And for our afternoon listeners, talk a little bit about this Joint Finance budget and the oddness, I'll call it, or uniqueness of this time around. They've done something different in terms of what you can say and what you can't say in the state budget.
Yeah, so Wisconsin is different than many states in the sense that the state passes an operating budget and a capital budget every 2 years. So when we talk about the state budget, we're talking about how lawmakers in Madison and the governor are planning to spend your $100 billion roughly over the next 2 years as the taxpayer. And so the Joint Finance Committee had what was its first working meeting last week. They met for about 2 hours, and they did something similar to they've done the last three budgets proposed by Governor Tony Evers, which is they pretty much went command A, delete, and strip it down to the very, very bare bones. So, you know, that's what they did. We've seen this before. Something that is not totally unique, but they have started to push more, is that they kind of do that in two parts. The first part they do is to delete, in this instance, it was several hundred provisions that the governor proposed, basically for good. The motion that they talk about, it says to be list of items to be removed from budget consideration. What that means is don't bring it up, don't talk about it. It's dead. We're not going to think about it for the budget. So they did that in one piece. And then in another piece, they deleted the rest of it, though some of those ideas could come back up. So it's kind of a you know, two halves. You can see what they got rid of for good, and you can see what they might consider over the next couple of months as they finish crafting the budget.
So am I correct in saying what they're putting out here, and this applies not just for people that might testify, but like sitting state senators or representatives, particularly from the Democratic Party, do not talk about these things or we'll cut off your mic because they're hitherto gone.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I think State Senator Roy's experienced this last session. I believe it was something about child care that she was talking about during one of the Joint Finance Committee meetings, and they turned her mic off. And that is the case for many things, and particularly for certain ideas that the public came and told the committee at four different listening sessions across the state over the last kind of month in April that they really cared about. And it was things about education funding, about healthcare and healthcare access, about childcare, et cetera. Like one of the things, for example, that they killed for good is childcare counts. People on the program might have heard that before. We've been talking about it for several years now. It's a program that the governor created using federal money. The state basically, you know, provides funds to childcare providers effectively to keep them open so that you can have, you know, places to send your kids. And Democrats have raved about it. They've seen it as very successful. Republicans have been lukewarm at best. They've been very against it, they have, you know, kind of turned down the idea of making it a state-funded permanent program at every turn, and they did that again. So childcare counts, it's out. Don't bring it up again in the budget. But, for example, a big thing that the governor wants is to increase the amount of funds that are reimbursed to school districts for special education. Special education is very expensive. Many districts will tell you they have to transfer money from their general fund into that fund to help pay for special education costs. He wants to increase the reimbursement rate up to, I think, 60%. The state will cover 60% of special ed costs for all districts in the state. Republicans took that provision out, but they didn't kill it for good. So we could see a version of that come back in the budget bill.
It's just, we're talking to Jack Kelly of Wisconsin Watch. You can find all these stories at wisconsinwatch.org. Jack, it just seems on the first one of those things you mentioned there, on the child care, and today I guess is the National Day of Child Care, whatever they're calling it, where to bring awareness to this very important subject. We talked about it last week with Corrine, who has a child care facility in beautiful New Glarus, Wisconsin. Incidentally, I was at Bailey's Run in New Glarus over the weekend. Beautiful place to have a beverage and a piece of a wonderful meal. But in order for people in that community, New Glarus, that to work, they need places to have their kids and child care. To this very serious point that you're bringing up, why on you're here to report, not today, but I guess I would say, as a guy who analyzes the news, it just seems confounding to me that a current state senator or representative would say we're not even going to allow a discussion on child care in this particular, and this is going to mean that child care workers go out of business some. And some people no longer have a place to leave their kids, which means they won't be able to go to work, which means they'll be unemployed. And then those same people that said we're not talking about this will point the finger back and say, well, you're lazy.
It's an interesting dynamic. right? I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, Assembly Republicans advanced a whole package of bills about bolstering the state's workforce. Democrats come right back to them and say, if you want to bolster the state's workforce, invest in childcare. I will say, you know, Republicans on the committee kind of panned the idea that because they were throwing out child care counts, nothing's going to get done on child care, right? Howard Markline, Senator Howard Markline, he's the committee co-chair from, he's a Republican from Spring Green, in the greater Madison area. He said during the committee, this idea that the door is closed on all of these things is pretty ridiculous. And his committee co-chair, Representative Mark Bourne from Beaver Dam, kind of piled onto that and he said, there is more than one way to address issues, and those will all be debated and built over the next couple of months. So what they're saying is just because we don't want to do it the way the governor wants to do it, doesn't mean we're not going to do it at all. And so, you know, now we kind of wait and see as they go behind closed doors, strike deals, and really, you know, make the sausage of the spending plan for the next kind of 2 months, right? The fiscal year for the state runs out on June 30th. It's kind of a soft deadline. If they don't pass a budget, we don't have like a state government shutdown. Funding levels just continue as is. But there's some pressure. People typically like to be done with the budget by or shortly after the 4th of July. And with the 4th of July being a Friday this year, I'm thinking lawmakers will probably be eager to meet the deadline.
I think you're absolutely right. And I don't mean to harp on this too much because we talked about Senator Markline in the first hour, a guy I happen to know from my days in the Capitol. And I would take Senator Markline at his word in what's in your article saying that what's the word he used? It's ridiculous to say they're not going to address child care. Is that right? Make sure I get it right.
The idea that the door is closed and all these things is pretty ridiculous.
So Howard says the idea that the door is closed is, quote unquote, pretty ridiculous. This is the same guy who a couple of years ago, I was at a town hall, 100 plus people packed in a room trying to save the UW-Richland campus and asking Howard and asking Representative Kurtz, who both sat on the Joint Finance Committee then as well, saying, how can we get money? We need like maybe $3 or $4 million to keep this campus open. And Howard literally looked at people and said, quote, I don't know. I don't have any power. You know, I don't really have any real power. That's what he told people. And here's a guy who is one of the most powerful legislators in the state.
Most definitely.
So my point is, when we come back to this, what's in this story at Wisconsin Watch, when he says, well, you know, this is ridiculous, how should voters take this guy at his word when he clearly hasn't been serious in the past?
It's interesting. And, you know, obviously this is on its face a policy discussion, right? We're talking about the state budget. Mm-hmm. It is by no means the sexiest thing.
You use the right term, sausage making.
But there's always politics to it as well, right? Howard Markline was drawn into a different district.
Mm-hmm. More Democratic leaning.
Right, and is probably the most vulnerable, or certainly one of the two most vulnerable Senate Republicans, and Democrats will be eager to win his seat come in 26 because they see it as the path to taking the majority in the Senate. And so here you have Senator Markline. He is in a position of power, as you pointed out. The Joint Finance Committee is the most powerful legislative committee. Oftentimes you'll see journalists call it the powerful budget writing committee, et cetera. We'll see how he uses that to maybe soften himself on certain stances that maybe he's been opposed to in the past. Now that he's going to be in a district, that's probably going to be a real dogfight.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, because, you know, sometimes I'm as my teacher used to say, too poor to pay attention. Ken Lewis, by the way. There's a fundraiser tonight. Speaking of Tony Kurtz, there's a fundraiser tonight at 5 o'clock. Wasn't that supposed to be at one time illegal for a sitting state legislator to fundraise during a joint finance session?
Gosh,
Do I just dream that at some point?
I would have to ask a legal expert. I'm not sure on that
I mean, there was talk at one point years ago in the state legislature to say maybe while the guy and the gal who are writing the budget, maybe they shouldn't be accepting money at the same time from supporters. That might be a bad idea. You know, kind of like giving a $400 million plane to a president.
I mean, things you know, maybe are blurry. But I would have to ask an attorney
all right,
for sure.
All right. That baffles me. I do
a lot of reporting on legal issues. Yeah. But every time I talk to an attorney, I have to start up front with the I have to couch it. I have to qualify it. I am not an attorney.
But Jack Kelly is a strong name if you were an attorney. I mean, it's a strong name anyway, but I mean the law firm of Jack Kelly. Call Jack Kelly. One call. No, that's already been done. All right. Well, we're talking with Jack Kelly at Wisconsin Watch. Anything else on joint finance or the budget before we leave that?
I mean, I just think it's going to be really interesting. One thing that I want to lift up that could be a backdoor to get Wisconsin on par with 48 other states is that they left the door open to expand Medicaid, postpartum Medicaid expansion for new moms to up to a year. I should note, every Republican senator on the committee, including the co-chair, Howard Markline, just voted for that as a standalone bill. And now I would be interested to see if they would back a motion to put it in the state budget, because that would be a way to circumvent the leading opposition to the bill, Assembly Speaker Robin Boss, who, of course, without his say, without his approval, no bill in the Assembly gets a vote. So would they be willing to put that into the budget to kind of circumvent Voss? Because it seems unlikely to me he would spike the whole budget bill over that.
Do you think, there's been some different reporting, you're reporting, do you think in the state Senate that they're going to need Republican votes or Democratic votes to pass it?
Maybe.
Maybe. There you go. All right. Sounds good. Oh, we'll come back and my old party is meeting with mushrooms. Maybe. We'll come back and talk more about the Republican Party convention. Could the Shim Sham Man be on the way out? We'll ask Jack Kelly. It's the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 before the hour of 4 o'clock at the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to. Little weather update for you. I can tell you what it's going to be in one word. Great. That's it. That's the weather right there. Back to you, John. Thank you.
It's beautiful. Hot, sunny.
That's all you need to know.
Feels like summertime.
Exactly. The weather is great. And then Mike Clemens is back at the sports desk, and he will be in with a look at the happenings around the state of Wisconsin. Brewers going to try to get back on a winning streak. I think they start a pregame show at the bottom of next hour in Richland Center, Hayward, Oshkosh, Wisconsin Rapids, I believe, as well. So there you go. Wisconsin, our Milwaukee Brewers, 4:30 pitch tonight or this afternoon against the Cleveland Guardians. Still hard to get used to that, Guardians. But the Guardians, and then also Clemens is reporting on Giannis now. They're saying that Giannis Antetokounmpo thinking, at least Jack Kelly from Wisconsin Watch. I know we're not here to talk sports, but as a Wisconsin guy, Giannis say he's willing to think about maybe going to other teams. Does he go?
Oh, man. Does he go? Maybe. Really? Should the Bucks really entertain it? Yes, because they have no picks for like 6 years. So
it's all right. Mike Clemens is the sports guy. He'll stick to that. Jack Kelly at Wisconsin Watch is here to talk a little politics. My former party, the State Republican Party of Wisconsin, they are having their state convention coming up. Jack, it could get a little spicy.
It could. This is the first time that they will have gathered for the state party convention. Since Donald Trump's triumph and return to the White House, but also what can only be described as an absolute shellacking in the April state Supreme Court race, which, when you really consider what's going to have a more profound effect on your life as a Wisconsin resident, was probably the one that they maybe would have wanted to win more. Right. So it is going to be interesting for sure. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of online chatter. Especially from, you know, the Republican Party of Wisconsin is very so interesting, right? They have for a long time relied on the work of volunteers. They've been very reliant upon the grassroots for donations, et cetera, to fuel the party. The State Democratic Party is not that way. They have raised just unbelievable amounts of money. They have a full-time, year-round professional staff. They approach things differently. And some of the Republican faithful, that those grassroots volunteers who are the lifeblood of the party, are dissatisfied with state GOP chairman Brian Schimming. And so it'll be interesting to see if that gets fiery this weekend up in Rothschild.
Now, I've known Brian Arthur Schimming, that's his full name, the state party chair, for a long time. And he comes from more of the, I'll call it the old traditional line of Republican politics. He's adapted to the MAGA, but that's not who he really, really, really is. And now other reporting I've seen is saying that the ultra or uber MAGA part of the Wisconsin Republican Party, particularly in Milwaukee, the largest county in the state, and then Green Bay, Brown County, I believe it was Eau Claire or La Crosse, are coming together to try to vote him out. But I hear that that's kind of not possible.
It's not entirely clear.
I was never like on the big committees in the state party.
It's not entirely clear. To my knowledge, this would be kind of a novel thing. But I think it's more representative of the fact that you kind of have this, I don't know if it's a need, but you have this tendency of grassroots people in politics, both sides of the aisle, but for sure more recently in Wisconsin on the conservative side, looking for the scapegoat when something goes wrong. You know, I think back, I was at the state party convention a couple of years ago. Democrats had just cleaned up in the 22 midterms, by and large, here in Wisconsin. Of course, Ron Johnson got reelected. And I wrote a whole story. Can Republicans in Wisconsin bounce back? They sure did. And people were very confident that they could when I was there. But at that convention, there were a lot of grassroots people who were very upset with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
Yeah.
And now it seems that the focus has shifted to Brian Schimming, which is interesting to me in some ways because, sure, they get out fundraised like crazy.
Right.
But there's also something to the fact that Republican donors like to put their money into PACs that they can control rather than giving to a party to let it be used. Democratic donors just to give money to the party and let the party go nuts. Mm. So it's really interesting because, you know, you talk about what happened in April. Well, some things that the state Republican Party did in April, they transferred close to $10 million to Brad Schimmel's campaign. Mm-hmm. Schimming.
Right.
to Schimmel's campaign. You know, they were knocking doors. They were out there. They haven't been doing that. They didn't have $9 million to transfer in previous election cycles, right? They came nowhere near that investment for Dan Kelly.
And we saw that this goofballs from Arizona was the Turning Point, whatever that's called, the big Republican PAC. They were more visible in this spring election, to me, it seemed like, than the Wisconsin Republican Party.
Right, but look, think back to November. Mm. Did you get a Donald J. Trump for President Inc. door knocker? You got Americ PAC door knockers. Right, you got Turning Point Action door knockers. He outsourced basically 100% of his ground game to these third-party groups. It was risky. It seemed to work for him. It was basically the same playbook in April. It's just that, again, it, you know, kind of defies all logic. Many Donald Trump voters didn't show up because Donald Trump wasn't on the ballot.
And that's the thing, Jack, as we look at this Republican Party of Wisconsin convention this week, it doesn't seem like the momentum, the big mo, as George H.W. Bush called it, is transferring from Trump into state party Republican candidates.
No, and I mean, that has been the case for as long as Donald Trump has been on the political scene in earnest, you know, going back to kind of 2015, 2016, when he really shocked the world and then took office in 2017. That's been the case, right? We haven't seen Trump voters turn out in off-year elections. We haven't seen Trump voters turn out and vote for people who are not Donald Trump. Yeah. That rung true again. I think he only got 62% of Trump voters or something, this being Brad Schimmel, whereas Crawford got 77% of Kamala Harris voters. And when you consider how many fewer people voted, that adds up to a 10-point blowout.
For all those covering the Wisconsin Republican Party convention this week, hang out with Steve Knotts. He's a lot of fun at a state party convention, or so I've heard. Jack Kelly is always fun. Jack at WisconsinWatch.org. Appreciate it. You're a hell of a guy and a great reporter, and I admire you a lot. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. You can find all these stories at WisconsinWatch.org. Also, many thanks to State Senator Kelda Royce for being on the show as well. To Zomers, as always, to all of you for listening. Maggie Dawn is next. Todd Allball, say whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Banging on your drum and
the national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.